Hey, it's Chaz and AJ in the morning.
Hey, what's going on?
Thanks for listening to the podcast. Here are some of the best parts from today's show.
Listen to it, please. Thank you.
And please subscribe, share, like, comment, all that stuff.
All of it, please.
Thank you. 72-year-old woman approaches bison. Bison returns the favor.
Yeah, they're good that way.
What are you doing here?
Yeah. And come on.
Selfie?
Yellowstone National Park. Let's go to the audio.
We're seeing video of the moments before a 72-year-old California woman was gored by a bison in Yellowstone National Park.
Gored.
The video.
All right. Gored.
Gored.
There you go,
see?
Gored.
Right.
Gored.
Wow.
Sonless bison.
Once I started, yeah. I thought, well, I got to go all the way now.
Well, you have
Your
to,
face
yes,
is
all the way.
Red.
Yeah.
I'm dizzy.
Yeah. Oh, jeez.
Your head gets smaller.
What was she?
Gord.
Gord. Oh. Right. She's Gord.
Gord is 72, which is
Gord,
tough
Gord,
to do.
Gord, 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 Gord,
Gord, Gord, Gord, Gord.
That's got to hurt.
Yep. But you're a dumbass.
You are a dumbass.
You're a dumbass. I'm sorry, when you walk up to a bison and take a photo and he doesn't want to take one,
don't,
you
like,
get gored.
Walk up to a bison, though.
Here's an idea. Let the bison go by. Take pictures he walks by.
Mm.
There you go. See, that's good. They like
all
that.
Park.
Right.
The video was shot by the Larson family. They were in the camping spot right next to the woman. Apparently, the woman repeatedly approached the animal, coming within 10 feet to take a picture. That's when the bison charged at her.
I like the little surprise in her voice.
Right.
Like, dumbass.
To take a picture?
To take a picture.
Right. Like she's reading it for the first time as she's reporting it.
That's right.
To take a picture.
Right. To take a picture?
Or she's still absorbing it. To take a picture.
To take a picture.
I don't understand. To take a picture.
It does sound like there's a little bit of disgust.
Yeah.
To take a picture.
Right. To take a picture?
Come on, Phil.
That's
stay
when
with
the
us.
Bison charged at her, throwing the woman 10 to 15 feet up in the air. And when the woman stood up, the bison hit her again. The unidentified woman was flown to an Idaho hospital. Her condition is unknown.
You know what sucks? No, I'll tell you what her condition is. Pain.
Right.
You know what
blood.
Sucks? Well, one, she's got a hole in her, right?
Yeah.
She was gored.
She's got a place to put a beer now. You just hold her. But you know what sucks is like they had the video of it. They didn't have the part
Wait,
of her being.
She puts the beer in the hole?
Yeah, exactly. Like a little holder.
The cup holder?
Like a cup holder, exactly, yeah.
She's got to be laying down on her back for that,
depends,
right?
On, you know, well, who knows where she got hit. But in any event, the video did
well,
not. The video did
gravity.
Not show, the video
but you're saying she has a beer holder now.
She does, yes.
But
right.
It's not your.
It goes for snacks, yes.
Right.
Or coffee. It can be coffee, too.
Okay.
It'll be in the wintertime, right? Nice warm. But they didn't show in the video her actually being flung by the bison. I watched the video for that part.
Yeah.
And it was not there.
They didn't want to play it.
Ripped
it's
off.
Probably.
They should have had this one
horrific.
Area. Like, you can click over here to actually watch it happen.
Right. With the warning. You're
exactly
about to
right.
See some
yeah, graphic. Exactly.
Content.
I wanted to see. I was ripped off.
Well, she was ripped apart.
She got flung like a cheese omelet. I want to see it.
Yeah, I would like to see if she looked like one of those rodeo cowboys.
Yeah.
You know?
They just kind of flopped.
She was stuck.
Right.
And the thing is trying to...
Yeah.
Get it off.
Come off my damn horn.
Horn.
Get off me, woman.
Right.
Right. Oh, there she goes. It's flying the woods.
Right. Swiss cheese.
Her mistake was getting back up.
Yeah.
It's like a prize fight.
Stay down. Yeah.
Just stay down.
Right. The 10 count, you're good.
Yeah.
Bison
then,
walks
then
away.
Ran into her again.
Right.
Yeah.
Yep.
Dike.
I ran to this old lady. Today.
Did she get the picture?
And she got up. I ran to her again.
Oh, that could be the best picture.
Yeah,
right.
It's a close
just of a giant bison head.
It's a close of a pissed off bison.
Then the next picture is of the ground.
Yep. Right. Then he's in the sky.
With maybe her foot on
right.
The side of the screen.
Then
like
there's
she's
this guy
spinning around.
Right. Then there's her husband going, "What the?"
So I was looking up to see if they have warning signs in the park, and they're perfect. They're amazing. So it's a visual of a giant bison and a person in the air, and their limbs are just all over the place, and they're everywhere. So they tell you, you're responsible for your safety. We can't possibly monitor the bison. So you have to be the smart person here and not go near them.
And so that's the sign.
Yeah.
It's no words.
No, there's lots of words.
Oh, lots of words.
But the picture is large.
For
those who can't
read. Don't speak English.
Or
you
can't
can look
read.
At the picture and say, oh.
Yeah. And apparently that
don't
bison
that
bison posed that picture. So, just so you know.
Right. Well, the weirdest sign I've seen like that was a cow in the air falling off a mountain.
Really?
It was a mountain with a cow flying down, upside down.
Where was this?
Somewhere on the internet. I'm clicking around. I'm like, wow. So not only has this happened, but it's happened so often right. that they have to warn people to beware of falling cows.
Falling cows. They'll cause some damage.
Yeah. She broke her body roller skating.
Oops.
What?
Comedian Brooke Lou Allen. What happened?
What a finale, huh?
Well, I spent a lot of money on roller skates.
They're amazing. And, they're shiny.
Yes, thank you. They're beautiful, but I'm really bad at it.
Is that how you rate roller skaters?
Well, since
roller skates, if they're shiny?
Since I can't roller skate, I wish I could. Yeah. I appreciated them because they're just so pretty.
Oh.
They are so pretty. The wheels are sparkly and they're holographic, but
full of blood.
I was at the park. I was at the park and I hit a little tiny hill and I had not practiced stopping, which is a very important part of this.
Yeah. That's the first part you learn, yes, how to stop.
Oh, this could be a subject. The mistake you made that led you to that brought you to the emergency room.
Gotcha. Like not learning how to stop with the skates.
Right. That would be it. That little thing. Like just learning how to stop.
What stopped you? A state bus?
That would have been a lot more dramatic, I wish. Then people would have actually paid attention.
Right.
Because several people saw me fall. No one did anything.
They were busy laughing. Did the cameras out? Did the cameras out taking video of you?
No, I was very upset. I wanted that video. I wanted to see you falling.
Are you going downhill or what happened?
It was a very small hill. Let's not get it mixed up. I'm just really clumsy. It was the slightest incline. I fell forward and broke my finger.
Oh.
Very, very dramatic scene. I rolled over and started laughing because I was like, of course.
Well, you have to laugh.
Of course I would do that.
You have to laugh.
You knew the second that you fell?
The second I was laying on my back, I knew that I broke something.
Yeah, when it's facing the wrong way, obviously it's a good clue.
Yeah, it's a good clue.
Yep.
It was completely the wrong way. It was turned in.
Ah.
And it's still a little, it's not just a little messed up, it's very messed up. They want to put a pin in my finger.
Oh. They call you pin finger.
Roller skates are the ones where you have to put your toes down to stop, right?
Yes.
Roller skates are the heels?
No, skates are the ones where it's the stopper on the front, and blades are the blades are the other one. I've been practicing stopping in my kitchen and the dining room.
Yeah.
So far, so good.
How do your floors look?
Not good. They have a little tire track everywhere.
Does anyone
mow you?
My roommates don't seem to mind that I'm practicing indoors.
Probably about skateboards.
Oh, skateboards. Not a fan. I look even worse than that.
The thing with roller skates, though, is that anything can stop you. Because I remember in roller skating days, if someone's ball bearings came out, and it just pour all over
the
floor.
Where the hell were you buying your skates from?
You know, skates have ball bearings. It's how they're able to the wheels are able to turn. So what happens is sometimes
they don't fall out.
If the nut is loose and the ball bearings, just before the seal
ball bearings,
you
better
not those metal
right
roller skates that are strap onto your shoes.
No, these are the regular polyurethane tired ones. The early ones used to have just a locking nut, and there was a cone shaped
1920s
nut. That had the old ball bearings in. Now, if that nut got loose and the ball bearings came out, you would take out an entire floor of roller skaters because all it takes is just one of those little ball bearings to make your wheel stop and folks go down hard.
Yeah, but the ball bearings come out as a unit.
No, these are not sealed ball bearings. When they first came out, they were loose ball bearings.
I have no idea what he's talking about.
They were loose ball bearings,
know.
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, because I was responsible for an entire floor falling.
Of course you were.
Yep.
Yeah. Sounds accurate. I do get that because there's been several times I've hit a stick and I just...
Hold on, Brooke. So tell us what happened.
I'm roller skating. These are rented skates from the skating place. I noticed my wheels was getting kind of loose. As I'm skating and heading for one of the exits, apparently all my ball bearings came out.
All of them. Like marbles.
Of one type. Yeah, of one
they
wheel.
They spread out
of
across
one wheel,
the whole floor.
Of one wheel. So you got ball bearings on both sides of your wheel. So that's about maybe 20 ball bearings.
20 ball bearings.
Just
all
little
over.
Tiny. And all of a sudden.
They spread out.
I just heard
they
this.
They take out a whole field of skaters.
I just heard a massive a massive crashing of people behind me. And next thing I knew, I was the last person on the skating floor still standing.
It was like a person who crashed into the refreshment stand covered in mustard.
Exactly right. One guy had a sundae on his head.
Right.
Exactly right.
Someone like spun around and skated backwards.
Right, exactly. The whole nine yards. Yep.
Right.
Yeah. One guy ended up playing records in the DJ machine. Yeah, the whole nine. One guy went to the jukebox. Another guy went all the way into traffic. You're like, man, man. Right.
Someone's face ended up in a cake.
Yeah, one guy went down the front stairs and threw a car wash.
One guy hit the rear car wash. AJ
threw the car wash.
One guy successfully hit a ramp and went over Snake River Canyon. It was the most amazing thing ever.
Yeah.
Yep. But yeah. But yeah, no,
that's what happened.
The entire floor went down. I was the only person still
standing. Here's the thing. If you call up and say you were hurt skating,
it's all about AJ.
That's right. He's got one better. Brooke, you can't just have an accident, break your finger. AJ's got to top you.
We were discussing.
I feel topped right now.
You've been topped.
We were discussing skating and stopping.
20 ball bearings all across it.
And I thought
at the same time.
And I thought, I wish you guys were.
Everybody
went pile up.
People pile up.
Somebody flipped over the snack bar, their head right in the nacho cheese.
And what happened to you? You lost the wheel.
I lost the wheel. I skated off. I was the only person still standing. Everybody else went down.
Did everybody point at you?
No. They were just getting up.
Did you help anyone?
No, because I was getting off the damn floor.
Not.
Right.
They helped each other, Phil. They were all fine. They all lived.
Somewhere there's a skate wheel still rolling down the LIE.
Possibly. Possibly.
Is that AJ's?
Yeah, possibly.
I like how everyone's on the ground, but AJ's still skating off.
Yep.
With only one foot that has three wheels on it.
No, the wheel's still on. It's going. They had no more ball bearings. It didn't come off entirely.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. And then you went up to return your skates, and the skate guy was like, "What happened out there?" I don't know. Boy, that was something, huh?
Yeah, pretty much.
Someone said cotton candy, and then the next thing I knew, it was just bedlam.
I don't know. They all can't skate.
It was insane. It was ridiculous.
They all can't skate behind me. What can I say?
So how is that Lynyrd Skynyrd movie? We talked about this last week with Joe Myers, movie critic. Joe's view on Instagram and Twitter, and he's got a new podcast available on Spotify, now a major motion picture. About the process of turning books into movies.
Cool.
So I saw the movie based on AJ's recommendation.
Right.
And I instantly...
Yeah, what did you think?
You hedged your bet, right? And you were basically saying...
Well, I gave it a mixed review.
Yeah.
Yeah. So your biggest compliment for the movie last week was set design and costumes.
It made me feel like I was back in the 70s. Absolutely.
Yeah, yeah. It was very period correct as far as the vehicles being used, the decor, the dress.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. So
totally.
I'm watching it. It's an Artemis Pyle movie. It's very clear it's an Artemis Pyle movie. It projects him as this almost Jesus-like figure where he can't do anything wrong. Yeah. And then the parts of the storytelling. See, you need stress to have great relief and enjoyment. And when he was trying out for the band, there was no stress. The van broke down, and then he ran his drums over, and he got the gig.
Yeah.
There was no moment where you thought, wow, even though you know, like I knew the Titanic was going to sink. I knew Apollo 13, they got back home. But there's that moment where you build the stress. None of that.
Right.
Right? So not great movie making. The constant reference to plane crashes. Like if you guys knew, really, if you're talking like this, don't get on the plane. Like I want to look back and research this. They made those pilots look really bad.
Well, apparently it sucked.
Well, we don't know.
Right.
Right. Artemis seemed like he took control of the plane crash, and then he went around and triaged everyone, and then he ran into the woods to save everyone. He really projected it like he was the hero of the movie.
Well, he did have military training, and he also was.
I thought about that too. Former Marine, so he may have taken charge.
He may have had some. Yeah.
Here's another missed moment. Right? Because he told us this on the air, and then here it is on screen.
Right.
He's going through the swamp. He comes up on a farm. The farmer comes out, shoots him, and then realizes he was in a plane crash and helps him.
Yeah.
This moment in the movie could have been a great moment.
Like a suspenseful moment?
Talk about tense.
It could be a tense moment where the farmer and him are trying to communicate, but they don't understand one another, and then the farmer shoots him.
Yeah.
Artemis comes out of the woods. The farmer comes out of the house, points the gun at him, shoots him. Artemis says, I was in a plane crash. And the farmer's like, oh, I'm sorry. And then brings him in the house.
They could have done that part better, yeah.
In the house, there's a bunch of people at a kitchen table.
Yeah.
So wait. Now you're telling me in the middle of the day on this farm, this farmer grabs his gun, runs outside, but everyone's still at the kitchen table.
Right.
Like, okay, let us know how that works out. All the men, all the women, they're at the table, like, da-da-da-da-da. Johnny's going to go out with his gun because there's danger out there, but we're going to stay right here.
Maybe told
so
him
he to. Goes out, doesn't even know what this guy's about, shoots him, and then 5 seconds later, just because Artemis said, I was in a plane crash. They're like, oh, sorry. And then brings him in.
From what I understand, though, from the movie, the guy went to shoot a warning shot over his head and shot too low.
Okay.
That was a scene in the movie where I really felt like we were getting made up stuff because it was controlled by Artemis. You know, that's the problem with these biopics is if somebody has the control and they're a principal in the story, they tend to skew it towards their involvement, you know, and I think that was one of the problems with the movie is you had it really focused so tightly on Artemis, especially after the plane crash, that you got the impression, well, where are all the other people? What are they doing?
I'd love to hear, because almost everybody lived. Three people died, right? Three people and the pilots.
Yeah.
And you would never guess that from the movie. The feeling you're left with is that almost everybody's been killed, which isn't what happened.
Yeah. I would love to hear the various versions. And not to say one's true over another.
Yeah.
If we all saw the same thing and then had to write about it, we'd have different versions.
Certainly.
But his version was tough to believe.
Right.
There was one point in the movie where he says, I want people to know how funny my band was. First of all.
Right.
Wasn't his band. It was Ronnie's band, or you could say our band.
Right.
He says that, and nowhere through the movie do you see them being funny.
Well, when Ronnie threw the TV out the window, that's pretty funny.
Yeah, that to me was typical, right out of a rock star book.
Exactly.
Yeah. Throwing the TV out the hotel window. Do something different.
Right.
Right?
Maybe they found it funny.
I don't know. I love Lynyrd Skynyrd. I love their music.
Me too.
I didn't hate watching it, but I thought there was a lot of missed opportunities.
But I bet you what you're talking about in terms of the Artemis focus and sort of almost distortion in places is probably one of the reasons why Ronnie's widow withheld music rights from the film. She probably did not want to endorse that film in any way, shape, or form.
Well, you also know the fact that, you know, he also got into the plane crash. So anything that happened between him coming out of the plane and going to the farmer there might have been skewed because of the fact that basically he just survived the plane crash. This is what he remembers.
Yeah. And if I was a relative of one of those two pilots, I mean, that is strictly made up. I mean, we know they had problems on the ground and records problems and stuff, but the way they behave in the cockpit during that movie really is almost libelous. I mean, especially the co-pilot is...
That guy was an idiot.
If that's true.
He was an idiot.
That guy was a complete...
If it's true.
Inane, inept, everything, yep.
No, but if it's true.
You know, we don't know what happened in the cockpit. Yeah, if it's true, you know, we don't know. And I think, you know, I would be very upset if I was the cousin, the grandson, the whatever.
I thought the same thing.
Wouldn't there be like a flight recorder there, on that plane?
Or there would be an FAA report on the crash and what happened, step by step. If he dumped that fuel by accident, that would be in the report.
Put the landing gear down by accident too soon.
And Steven Tyler from Aerosmith has never been that fat. Ever. I was like, did he sit on an air hose? What happened to him? Two things I liked was Ronnie. There were two scenes where I thought this is probably what he was like. So the band gets done with a show. They all go into a room and they start partying.
Yeah.
They think they did great. Ronnie comes in, starts yelling at them for missing a part here and a part there and feedback here.
Right.
And I thought, this sounds like he was the leader of the band, and this is the guy who's like, get in line, everybody.
Line of perfection.
Of course, he looks at Artemis and says, you didn't miss a beat.
Right.
Right?
Exactly.
Right.
Like, maybe he didn't. He did that night. He liked him. They had a bond.
I think he looked at Artemis, and Artemis said, I didn't miss a beat. And Ronnie said, not yet.
Right.
Like, oh, man.
Not yet.
Right.
And then there was another scene on the airplane where they all had the guitarists had their guitars out. And I thought, this is, if you've ever been around musicians, they are always at that guitar.
Yep.
You know? And Ronnie says, shut the F up. And everybody stops. And he looks at the guitar player. Not you. Keep going. That sounds good. Like he's, you could see a little bit of the song making process.
Yeah, constantly working.
I wanted more of that. Constantly I wanted more of the band working together and doing music.
Well, that's part two, maybe.
You know, me too.
Before the plane crash.
I wish the movie was about Ronnie, frankly. You know, I mean, he was the center of it. He was the creative force. I think you could make a pretty good movie about how he created the band, how they did the music, you know, their rise and all of that stuff. I think, you know, it's the nature of Artemis was the one who made the movie. It's his movie. He has the right to make it the way he wants. And I must say, he found the guy who played Ronnie, I thought, was very effective in sort of his limited role in the film. He really convinced you he was a musician, that he was Ronnie. But, you know, it's a seriously flawed movie. But if you're a fan of that music of that era and of that band, I think it's worth a watch.
The one technical thing that drove me crazy about the movie is every time they showed the two limousines they used, there was a 72 and a 75 Cadillac. The 75, the hood was popped up.
Right.
Like someone must have hit the catch and like it was popped up. Like, push the hood down.
Oh, my gosh.
I'm waiting for the hood to pop up.
Even that scene, they show the band arriving at the airplane in limousines.
Yeah.
And Artemis shows up in a Jeep. Like, he's portraying himself as, I'm the regular guy. These guys were in limos.
Yeah. Right.
It was just always, he was one step above the band.
Yeah, and every time they showed him, I'm like, push the hood down!
And with that said, Artemis was the greatest Southern rock drummer ever. Probably top 15, top 20 rock drummers ever.
One of the nicest people.
One of the nicest guys to us. Yep. I just didn't like the movie as much as I thought I would.
So I still loved it. I really did.
And somebody called and said the fatty Steven Tyler is in a Steven Tyler or an Aerosmith tribute band.
His name is Neil Burns, and is a well-known frontman for a Aerosmith tribute band called Draw the Line, and he plays apparently the Boston and Connecticut area very frequently.
Huh.
There you go, see?
Wow. Knowing that he was going to be in the movie, he should have lost weight.
Maybe they have a chance to.
You know?
Maybe they have a chance to be this spot on him.
It's funny because before you even, they even tell you that it's Aerosmith, you could tell it's supposed to be Steven Tyler.
Right.
Yeah. He does look like Steven Tyler.
Very much in the face, yeah.
He does. He does.
Good or bad thing, I swear.
What's that now?
Oh, it's a good or bad thing.
I still didn't hear it.
I'm not sure if it's a good or bad thing.
Okay.
I don't want to insult the person clearly. Yeah.
Oh, I see. You're mumbling.
That was a quick little thing.
Under your breath on the radio.
So now when he comes to Connecticut, wants to kick my ass, I say, well, I tried to do it stealth, but Chaz insisted. I say it out loud.
No, I agree with Joe. That would be great. A Ronnie movie with the music in it. Like,
wouldn't
why wouldn't
good?
The wife? You know what's another Artemis thing? He poked her, Ronnie's widow, in the eye several times in that movie by showing Ronnie as a womanizer right before the plane crashed.
Right.
I thought you meant on purpose, like, actually.
Poke in the eye.
Ow, God.
It's funny you should say that.
Why did you do that?
I was on a cruise. It was a rock and roll cruise, and Artemis's band was on the cruise.
Yeah.
And one of the people in our crew sees Artemis on the deck, and it's like, Artemis!
Yay!
Yeah, and they go to hug. And my friend's thumb went into Artemis's mouth.
Oh. It's not
for
me.
You can sell it.
No, you gotta spell it. You gotta spit that out, man.
And it was just this really. Artemis was like,
the
is your thumb just in my mouth?
Right.
Poor guy.
It hasn't been the weirdest thing.
Yeah, so, Listerine, please.
Not a poke in the eye, but close.
Right.
Mm. Joe, thanks for coming on. I love Joe.
Always a pleasure, man.
He can say anything and make it sound positive.
All right, we're going to talk to you next week, and Phil had a good one. We're going to talk to you about the movies that you hated watching the most.
Ones you had to suffer through?
Yeah. The ones that were the hardest to review.
Like Shrek 3, for example.
Yeah, Shrek 3.
I love
Shrek
3. Shrek 3 is up there, yep.
Chaz and AJ.
If Ronnie heard you say that nobody cares about Johnny, I think he'd want to kick your butt.
Well, you'd have to catch me first.
Well, you got a good head start on him. Because his original plan with the band was to write the music and have his younger brother sing with him.
Really?
Yes, really.
The mom
have a good day. Oh, and by the way, one
how do
more
you know
thing.
That?
AJ?
Wait, how do you know AJ? That? You can't just call and say that.
Because,
how do you know that?
Well, why,
did Ronnie tell you that?
That's your problem, Chaz. You don't let people talk. Two ears, one mouth. Right. When I was in Kentucky, I had the pleasure of meeting people while I was serving in the Army.
Thank you for your service.
Thank you, service.
Yeah. And, oh, one more thing, AJ?
Yeah.
No, wait, 100%. You're in Kentucky. I was in Texas. That doesn't mean I know I'm an expert on Ronnie and Johnny.
AJ was 100% correct with the roller roller skates.
Now,
thank you.
Just lost all credibility.
You. Thank you. I appreciate it.
Yeah.
And
you, you are the man.
And thank you, Johnny.
You are the man.
How do you know that the original plan was for Johnny to sing?
Because I know a few people from Tennessee area that play music with the Grand Ole Opry, believe it or not, that played at Muscle Shoals in Alabama, and that was the plan. And this is back in 1979, 78, those years. So that was spoken about way back then. And if you ever listen to Johnny Van Zandt's albums before Skynyrd, I could see why Ronnie would want him
he
to.
He didn't have any albums until the plane crash. Brickyard Road. Is his first album?
No.
And it's Johnny a song
Van
about
Zandt
him and Ronnie.
Solo artist. Do your research, Chaz.
Do yours.
I don't know if someone's going to be here. I need to believe my ball bearing story, so.
Can you look up Johnny Van Zandt?
Yes.
His first album is Brickyard Road. We played it here on PLR. The song is about him and Ronnie walking down Brickyard Road.
Remember that song? Yeah. Tugs your heart. But I don't remember.
And how old was Johnny when they started the band? Leonard Skynyrd.
Right. Couldn't tell you. Well, how old is he now?
Right. Here's the song. Is this his first album?
I'm getting there.
All right.
He's researching. This
I
is the music.
I wanted to get you something.
This is interlude music.
he can fact check in a second when his agent.
This is like being on hold right now, right. You know? We're getting information. Lives kind of right
I
now.
Got a lot of questions in one moment.
That is
you
true.
You did. What time is it? Yeah, this one really grabs you. Chevy, wasn't it like a video that like showed like early footage of them as brothers and whatnot too when this came out?
Leonard Skynyrd was formed in 1964 in its earliest incarnation.
Then there was no plan for Johnny to sing.
He was born in 1960, Johnny.
Yeah, so Johnny was four.
At the oldest.
See, you can't just call and say, I was in Kentucky, so I know.
I don't know.
Is this his first album?
Sound incredible to me.
The Johnny Van Zandt Band.
His first album, 1980.
I can't. Sorry. It's not even on Wikipedia. Like, I can't even click it on Wikipedia. I can't even find it.
See, I get fact-checked all the time, so it's going to hang up here.
I'm just saying this is so obscure. Like, they don't even have it listed.
The Johnny Van Zandt Band, 1980.
Yep.
No More Dirty Deals. Round 2, 1981. The Last of the Wild Ones, 1982. Van Zandt, 1985. Brickyard Road, 1990.
Maybe he had like some sort of like little band that he played with and cut an album.
So he had the Johnny Van Zandt Band, and then he went solo. Isn't the Johnny Van Zandt Band basically being solo?
Unless there's a one-man band that played all the instruments.
And then Leonard Skynyrd, 1991, was 1991.
Like those guys on the street corner, they have like the cymbals on their head and stuff like that, and they have their big bass drum in the back. And they have the kids in the mouth.
This album was his only solo one.
So who had the plan?
What plan?
A plan for him to sing. Where did this plan come from?
I don't know.
From the heart. It came from the heart.
This guy was with AJ and said AJ was completely correct about the wheel coming off and the ball bearings everywhere and everybody hitting the ground.
Right. And I love him very much.
All right.
And he also served our country.
Well, Johnny would have been 17 at the time that Ronnie died.
Right.
So maybe in between there, the plan formed.
I heard that in an interview that somebody in the band said, yeah, Ronnie said at some point he was going to turn it over to Johnny.
There you go.
Really?
See, like the car keys. Like, you know, like you give your younger brother
it's
your old car.
It's easy to say that when your lead singer is Johnny Van Zandt.
Right.
It's like, well, Ronnie said this was going to happen.
Right. All I know is I love the movie, and that really did happen when roller skates.
Anyway, I'm a big Leonard Skinner fan.
I can tell.
You can't just call and make up facts. All right, anyway, we're in the middle of a newscast.
Right. Who are we talking about again?
Welcome to my freakout.
Hello.
Freak out.
Really? Crickets.
Yeah, nobody, they were going to put Johnny Van Zant in the band at 4. Right?
On tambourine.
He was going to wear one of those little hats.
Triangle.
That'd be cute.
Yeah, the triangle.
That'd be cute.
Little cowboy
boots.
Who
wouldn't go see that?
Right.
Who wouldn't go see that?
Right.
Oh, look, it's so cute.
I mean, Jennifer Lopez brought her daughter up on stage during the Super Bowl performance.
Yeah,
so
really.
It's not crazy.
During that dirty performance. Dirty, dirty, naughty.
Don't tell me you didn't like that.
Dirty birdie. Nah.
All right, so the Leonard Skinner movie, Street Survivors, you know, just if you like the band, you'll like the movie. I don't think you'll love it.
I found it entertaining. I liked it.
Yeah, no, you love it.
Yeah, you know? Mm. Yeah, I also like watching Miami Vice, so.
I was going to say, your last, like, foray into
I'm
movies.
I'm easily amused. Okay.
It was like 1989.
Right. Yeah.
This was the Jazz and AJ podcast. Thanks for getting through the whole damn thing. Subscribe now and please rate and review us. Unless you have terrible things to say, then please don't. Also, share this podcast with friends. Jazz and AJ in the Morning happens weekdays from 5:30 a.m. to 10 a.m. out of New Haven, Connecticut on the mighty 99.1 PLR.